Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree?
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mystery.
And I'm Jay Clone 70.
And it's
Season 7.
Episode
1.
Woo!
Man, the crowd goes wild.
I think I had some mic topping out there for a second. No, super excited. Hopefully you guys like the season finale. we're starting this week. Can you die a little quieter, please?
Sorry.
I'm trying to.
Had a frog in my throat. A frog man.
Oh, frog man. Hey, we had fun seeing you guys at Frogman. It was a ball. Anyways, well, now you made me lose my train of thought. Oh, season six finale, longest one ever. Hope you guys liked it. Very different. The season 7 finale will be the longest one ever, and then we're reverting back to like a top out of 8 hours.
Please.
Because the last one's going to be really big.
You mean this next one?
Yeah, it's season 7.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, good. This is the start of it. This is the first step.
So if you're new to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast, we save season openers for a heavy hitter. A famous cryptid, a famous sighting, a famous string of events.
A fun one.
Yeah. Everything from Wendigos and Chupacabras have been, you know, season starters and stuff like that. So this is one that's been asked for dozens of times. It's one I've held on to forever, one I've said we'll come back to. Probably 100 times.
Okay.
Can you have any guesses? Because I changed it on you, so you wouldn't know what it is.
You said we'll come back to it, meaning we've already done it. We haven't done it yet.
We have not done it yet, but it's popped up in a couple previous episodes of just being like, well, that happened.
I don't know.
The Beast of Boggy Creek.
Oh, wow. All right. It's been a while.
Yeah. The Falk Monster.
Yeah. The Lyle Blackburn special.
We're going to talk a lot about Lyle today.
All right.
No, the Beast of Boggy Creek. This is one. So originally it was going to be the invasion of Chestnut Ridge, but I started finding articles that were a lot better for the Beast of Boggy Creek.
Okay.
I didn't even know how it happened. So normally I follow those threads when they happen. So the Beast of Boggy Creek, we'll talk about my personal connection with the Beast of Boggy Creek, and then we'll talk about the town, museum, the monster itself, all of it. But before we get rocking and rolling, remember we have live shows coming up. We're not going to go a lot into that because Wednesday we talk a lot about all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We have live shows coming up. We have speaking events coming up. We have merch and t-shirts and all that. It's available on the website. Check it out. We love you guys. We thank you for your support.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Beast of Boggy Creek.
All right. I'm ready.
Now, before we dive into it, what do you remember of this case? Because we've never done a full into it. You know, like I said, it's popped up in some of the Bigfoot cases and been like, well, the Beast of Boggy Creek kind of did that or did that.
Honestly, I don't remember a whole lot from it, but I do know, what I do remember is watching when we were in South Virginia Bigfoot Festival, or Bigfoot and Friends, whatever it was, can't remember, something like that, when Lyle was speaking, him talking about it briefly, and him mentioning us in his presentation.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of a cool thing.
Lyle, but dear friend now.
I really don't know much about it. Literally, when I hear it, I just think of Lyle and his hat. It's about where I'm at with it.
And Lyle is a big proponent of this story in modern day.
Yeah.
But when it happened, there were some other researchers. So we're going to talk about the Beast of Boggy Creek and Boggy Creek itself. So most of this is going to come from like Mysterious Universe and several other articles around it.
Okay.
And then we'll get into some. I mean, this is why I like season openers. It's because there's movies. There's not one, not two, maybe five, six movies about this.
Dang, I didn't know there was that many.
Yeah, and some of them I didn't know about until I did it, like just seeing, well, I never heard of that.
Yeah.
Tons of books, tons of events. The town itself, it's one of these, it's like Mothman, you know. The town doesn't, it does a festival, it does a museum, and we'll talk about all that.
So they support the beast.
Yeah, yeah. Now they do, for sure. It was really scary when it was happening.
I can imagine.
We'll talk about it. Out of the wilds of the U.S. state of Arkansas. The visionary of the small town, rural Falk. So I go down. I've gone to Falk a lot. Does not have an L in it.
No.
The people there pronounce it like Falk.
With an L.
Yes, but I've heard most of the time on TV it's like Falk.
It just must be their accent or something.
I think it is. I think it is. As an Ohio boy, it's kind of a hard one. Falk. But I also told you that the people down there, because Ashdown is the town we go to. It's right next door. They say Ohio, Haya.
Right, yeah.
They pronounce it with no O's.
No O's.
Haya. H-I-A.
I was thinking H-Y-A.
It may be. But yeah. In Miller County, it has long been said to be the haunt of a hulking hairy hominid in the vein of Bigfoot's alike, called the Falk Monster, a.k.a. the Beast of Boggy Creek, the Southern Fried Sasquatch.
Mm.
Typically described as being anywhere from 7 to 8 feet tall, with long arms, a galloping gait, very large eyes, often said to glow a little bit, covered with long, dark to reddish hair. It is said to smell like a wet dog and be extremely fast. So already, I mean, we got some typical Bigfoot. It's, as far as the Bigfoots go from around the country, especially the famous ones, everything from Momo to Minerva to all these other ones, the Big Muddy Monster.
Yep.
7 to 8 foot tall is on the smaller side for a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
You know, what we...
Smaller or average, like...
Average. You know, it's... A lot of the famous Bigfoots end up being, like, they say 9 foot tall, 10 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these... You know, it's still a Goliath and it's all right, but these Goliaths. Dark in color. Very dark. It's not a light-haired Bigfoot. So, I've heard everything from black to red. It's kind of the two main colors that I see. Or maybe even that... A really dark red.
Right, or dark brown. Like, so dark. Yeah. That, yeah.
But when you see it in the shade, it, you know, it looks black. And when it's out and about, it right. looks dark red.
Mm-hmm.
And the smell, you know, that's classic smell of wet dog. Anybody's ever been to Falk or Moundwood or Millwood Lake or Ashdown or Texarkana area, it's all the same kind of general area.
Yeah.
It's all rivers and wetlands and swamps and bayous.
So everything smells like that down there.
It's wet. It's a wet place. Animals, I mean, we would be in the river and deer would be swimming across and raccoons would be in the river and gators everywhere.
You're going to have
gators everywhere. So, you know, if you're covered in thick hair,
yeah,
you're going to smell like a wet dog.
And I do wonder, too, with when we talked to Randy, when he talked about them putting that Bigfoot, at least on his property, putting that smell in your mind. I wonder, too, like how much is it just that when it comes to smell or if it's some of these things actually do have a scent like that they are putting off naturally.
Generally, that skunky smell that comes with some of this Sasquatch, mm-hmm. I think they produce or put in your head. Either one, I don't know.
Okay.
This one, I do think is just wet hair.
Yeah, just that.
It's not a smell that it's quote-unquote producing, like a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
It's just a byproduct of being fur-covered and being wet constantly.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine they smell just like a sloth.
Oh, wonderful.
It is also apparently quite aggressive. It has become... unwitted into local lore, the Falk Monster has gone on much to be still discussed in modern-day cryptozoology. So, the area, Boggy Creek. We're going to talk about some historical sightings before we get to the real big modern one.
Okay.
So the creature in question has apparently been in the region of Jonesville and Boggy Creek in eastern Louisiana since the 1800s. It has become well known in the 1940s, as well as something known as the Jonesville Monster. So there's, in this little area, this corner of the country,
they've already been having these.
Tons of these weird Bigfoot. If anybody's, this is one of those places, I tell people nobody believes in Bigfoot until it's 4 a.m. and you're walking to your tree stand. And you hear every noise. It sounds like a guy walking behind you and everything.
In the middle of Arkansas?
No, in Ohio.
Okay, just here.
When I was in the boats in these bayous at night, there was things I would not shine the light on that we've seen because I didn't want to know what they were.
Yeah, you'd just rather not.
And it's so weird because the bayous would go from 4 feet deep to 40 feet deep.
Yeah, and you wouldn't even know.
And we would drop the anchor sometimes and never touch. And it would just felt like somebody had picked it up.
Yeah.
It is... Nobody believes in Bigfoot until you get in a little boat out there in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And then everybody believes in Bigfoot because something's coming to get you. So in the 1950s, there were several sightings, including a report given by a 14-year-old boy who had said he had seen an immense bipedal creature with reddish-brown hair roaming about. And then by another one that was a hunter who had witnessed a large gorilla creature washing its hands in the river.
Hmm.
Very unique behavior there. So the guy, keep in mind, 1950s. About the best thing he could describe it as was like a big gorilla guy
washing his hands,
and it was like washing his hands like raccoons do.
Mm.
So it's one of the few other animals, or raccoons wash their hands for the same reason we do.
Oh, really? For sanitation reasons?
Like to clean their hands, yeah,
because
they use their hands like the dexterity and the grips and everything like
that. Yeah, they use actually a lot.
They
yeah.
do clean their hands for those reasons. I don't know if sanitation is the reason versus wanting to make sure their hands stay dexterous and grippy.
Right. Yeah, so they can grab and climb and all that stuff. Or like a fly.
Yeah, there you go.
They do the same thing. They rub their little hands together.
That's just to get the poo off.
Yeah, probably. So sanitation. That's why I do it. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. No, so it's just, that one always interests me hearing about this, of this Bigfoot washing his hands. It's one of the few times, tons of Bigfoots by creeks doing stuff in the water. But never, I imagine like doing that raccoon kind of thing where actually maybe scrubbing stuff off his hands.
He might have had some poo under his nails.
May have been there, done that. My son just pooed on me the other day.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Pulled his diaper off and shot liquid diarrhea at me.
He pulled it to the side. It was a sneak attack.
We were wrestling, and he just shot, covered me in diarrhea.
Well, you know.
It happened.
Yeah, all right, yeah, moving on.
In 1965, a boy named Leon Crabtree even said that he had shot the creature.
Okay, here we go.
So what's one thing we've learned about Bigfoot?
Yeah, you don't shoot him.
And what's something that kind of happens after you shoot a Bigfoot?
Bad things.
Can you name any examples?
I'd imagine Portlock, Alaska.
Yeah.
That's a good one. You know, where a guy's...
That's a really good one.
His head got turned into a, like a...
Silly imagine buddy.
Imagine a tin can full of, a chicken, for example. Like, you can get canned chicken. Imagine that just getting smashed in, like, a hydraulic press instantly. That's what his head looked
like. Welcome back to the Hydraulic Juice Channel.
Yeah, that guy. You know, I enjoy that.
He's probably the same guy. It's actually the Bigfoot doing it.
Yeah.
I found his passion.
Yeah, that's right.
Ape Canyon is another famous one, I would say.
That's a good one, yep.
And several others. I mean, even some from the season finale kind of have similar veins.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so Leon had shot at a big one, or at a Bigfoot. Whether he hit it or not, I don't know. Also in the 60s was an encounter not reported until many years later, which is experienced by a teenager, William Lunford. And at the time, he claims that he had been fishing when he saw something standing there, looming in the shadows, watching him behind the tree up the road. Lunford would say this of the sighting. So this is what he actually says.
Okay.
The thing was on the side of the road. He had squatted down. He had his limbs in front of his face. He was standing up. He lifts his limbs and keeps standing up. And he looks at me, and just wobbles, but you can see his eyes. So this Bigfoot's crouched down with his arms in front of his face, hiding his face, stands up, and starts doing the wobble back at him. It looked like he was trying to read my mail, and I just thought, oh my gosh, I know what I'm seeing. He sat there for a minute. He teeters and totters. He turns just as quick, and in two steps, he's gone in the woods.
Mm.
So several things there before we continue on. That Bigfoot wobbling back and forth, that was reported many times after this event in the 1960s.
I mean, here at Boggy Creek, you're talking.
No, in the world.
In the world, okay.
The Bigfoot behaviors, this wobbling back and forth.
Right, like, yes, we've heard it definitely before.
Especially, I think, with juveniles or young ones. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't, I don't know which way to go.
You're right. I can't remember who we interviewed. They were, maybe it was Noah, the guy from down in Kentucky that talked about being, you know, at that campground or whatever with his friends, and they saw, I don't think it was him. I can't remember. Either way, they saw that whatever it was standing at the tree line, watch them, and it mm-hmm. just did that, like you said, the wobble back and forth.
Yeah, I
rocking.
But very common. Also kind of reminds me of Greg's sighting, standing on the side of the road.
Yeah, squatted down.
As it stood up, it just kept going and going,
going.
So all just very fascinating. Oh,
I was like, what the?
He also said his eyes were as black as coals.
Okay, that's scary.
And we've had that explained about Bigfoot several times where like their iris takes up everything.
Right. But usually, I mean, now I can't remember if this is daytime, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that makes a lot more sense. Okay. That makes a lot more
sense. He was like in the shadow.
Yeah.
Like going down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But two steps and again, gone in the woods.
Even some Bigfoot video that, you know, we think are real that shows their face. Yeah, those eyes are black.
And I don't know. That's every Bigfoot. I don't know if they're doing something to their eyes.
Right.
Whether it's a second membrane.
It just makes me think
their irises are fully expanded. Like
right,
a fear response.
Makes me think of like shark eyes.
I mean, that is so funny thing is when sharks attack and their eyes roll into their head so they don't get tore up.
Oh, really?
So you only see the whites of their eyes.
Oh, see, I always imagine. Well, from Finding Nemo, it was the opposite.
Yeah, well, Finding Nemo is not a factual documentary.
What?
Of great white sharks.
Nah, you're lying. Bruce is real. You can't convince me he's not.
I didn't say he wasn't real. I just said it wasn't factual.
I mean, no, that was a real scene. Those are not mm-hmm. paid actors.
All right, continuing on. And in the 1960s, the 1960s was actually quite a few sightings of this creature. One local named Smokey Crabtree claimed that the beast would lurk around his rural property at night, unleashing unearthly screams and scaring his dogs to almost death.
Mm.
So you'd say like these dogs would all like cower in the kennels, mm-hmm. refuse to come out, all this stuff.
Well, you've experienced that, kind
of. Yeah. And I didn't hear the screams.
No, but you
heard the dogs were absolutely...
You heard the knockings.
Yeah, the knocking, but the dogs were absolutely terrified.
Mm.
The creature was also seen on several occasions prowling along Highway 71, such as the case from 1967, when a group of teenagers who saw a tall, hairy, bipedal creature running along the highway, and then another case in 1969, when a family of four driving on 71 spotted the first took to be a man in a fur coat, which turned out to be some sort of ape-like creature caked in mud.
Mm.
So...
Big muddy monster.
When me and Nick were down there, we drove up and down Highway 71, which is just a little tiny thing now.
Mm-hmm.
There's bayous left and right all over this thing, including Boggy Creek.
Okay.
So you can go up and down. I don't know if this creature was coming out of the mud. It's just easier. This stuff is so hard to walk through. Like, people don't just, you don't just get off and walk like we do up here.
Right, yeah, you can't. Yeah.
Let alone the copperheads, the water moccasins, the rattlesnakes.
And then the sink,
the hornets,
mud, the mud
the
pits,
scorpions, and all everything.
Yeah, the hyper sand.
So this Route 71 had a ton of sightings, and I don't know if it's just because of how easy it was to maybe change bayous or change rivers.
Mm.
So it's just the creature took the risk of being seen just because it was a heck of a lot better than trying to tramp through the woods
there. Or go around or through the swamp. Yeah.
And that's because there was tons of sightings back and forth.
I can see that. And again, not to bring up you or Greg and stuff the whole time, but you both had your sighting here in Hardin County, mm-hmm. 3 or 4 miles from here. And it's where the two watersheds are closest. So if it's making the journey from one path to the next, it gets seen.
Yeah. The creature, the mud cake creature, then apparently raised its massive arms to shield its eyes from the lights of the headlights and immediately broke off and limbered off into the woods.
Hmm.
So this light sensitivity, I mean, that's talked about tons of times where they try to, whether they're protecting their night vision or they are sensitive to light, like from high beams or flashlights or whatever.
Yeah.
But how many times have we heard Bigfoot putting up an arm just to block their eyes? That's been shared a bunch.
Yeah. Not a whole lot, though, I can recall, like, right off the top of my head. But I'm curious, though, you know, he's shining a light. I know it's in the shadows. It's daytime, but...
What do we do?
Yeah, yeah.
That one, sorry, was at night or in the evening.
Oh, that one was in the evening. Okay, yeah. Okay, never mind then.
Not like pitch blackout, but not
right.
Right, enough for headlights.
Dawn.
Despite these earlier sightings, the beast would become known as the Falk Monster, really gain notoriety in the 1970s, with a series of high-profile sightings of something strange prowling the woods and the swamps of this little town in Arkansas. And perhaps the most famous report kicked it all off was that of a couple named Bobby and Elizabeth Ford in May of 1971. So do you remember this one? Have you ever seen the movie The Beast of Boggy Creek?
I have not.
Or The Return of the Beast of Boggy Creek?
Yep, nope.
Highly advise everybody. We'll talk about it towards the end.
Okay.
This is like the scene from the movie.
Okay.
Like this is the famous scene.
That makes the movie.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. Ford claimed that he had just moved into the house in Falk a few weeks before, and that he and his brother Don had been out hunting in the woods in the surrounding area at the time of the incident. At some point, they heard screams from the proximity of the house from where Ford's wife. They went running to investigate. So they're out hunting in the woods around the property.
Okay.
They hear the wife at the house just absolutely losing it.
Bloody murder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's not good.
No, usually isn't.
No.
She must have saw a spider or a mouse. If it was my mom, that's what she would do.
I don't even know if Emily was screaming. I couldn't even imagine what it was for. Because normally she's quiet, angry.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
So it's screaming. So, I don't even know what would be happening.
Yeah. Something very unpredictable.
So when they arrived at the house, they found a massive, hairy, ape-like creature loitering about, and the two hunters had actually opened fire on the mysterious monster. So they get up to the house. This thing's peering in the window, standing on the patio, walking up like it's huge. It's not like breaking into the house,
but it's
definitely interested in the house.
Yeah, or what's in it.
Yeah. Ford even said that he had managed to hit it at least one time before it went ambling off into the night.
Hmm.
So it wasn't acting right immediately. And they said that he knows he hit it at least once. They both opened fire on it. They felt like they'd hit it other times, but he guarantees that he hit it once. He's seen the impact on the creature one time.
Yeah.
But it didn't scream. It didn't. So think about when we talk about Bigfoot being shot. And then they take off running. This thing gets hit maybe a couple times and ambles off into the woods.
Maybe he was drunk.
Hold on to that. But it wasn't done, as it apparently rushed them the following evening, as Ford was standing out on his porch.
Oh, he's mad.
Ford would claim that the beast had actually managed to grab him, after which he broke free in a panic and went dashing into the house, bursting through the front door, after which firing upon the creature again. Ford's wife would claim that the reason that she had screamed was the thing had reached into the window while she was taking a nap. So the where she was sleeping, it was like gently reaching at her.
Gosh.
This massive arm. Authorities were notified, but a search turned up no sign of blood or indeed any sign of the creature at all. Some are, except for some scratches on the porch that could have been from the monster. So before I continue, we'll reiterate that.
Mm-hmm.
So Ford's staying on his porch as it's getting evening again.
Right.
Doing, he's like, well, is it going to come back? What's happening? You know, he's nervous for his family, his wife, his new home. They just bought this house like a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing bum rushes him in broad line of sight. It grabs him. It's a Bigfoot, right?
Right, yeah.
It grabs him. He's able to break free from it. And he shoots it again.
Hmm.
And then it ambles off. Now, I know you may be thinking that there may be some fibbing going on here on the human's pack.
Yeah.
I don't think so. He did have bruises all over him. We're seeing some really odd examples of Sasquatch behavior.
Mm. Drunk Squatch.
Hold on to it. They like alcohol in this area, I'll tell you that much.
Why? Do you know any drunken cryptids down in Arkansas?
Yeah. Actually, I do. Wrong side of the state, but...
Hey.
It's there. So, like, the authorities did come out, and they did take it seriously, because keep in mind, there had been sightings of this monster for about 30 years, on and off.
Mm.
No attacks, as far as, you know, public knowledge goes. Mm-hmm. But authorities, I mean, even before, keep in mind, Bigfoot wasn't made in the 70s, like people think.
Right, yeah.
They knew what Bigfoot was. They may have called it something different, a booger or anything like that, but they knew that this big thing was out there.
Right.
So the cops took it kind of seriously. So Ford found himself admitted to the hospital with scratches and an extreme gash along his back from the attack.
Ooh, okay.
So he was injured.
Mm-hmm.
There is hospital reports. He was all that. So the Ford account would be picked up by the Texarkana Gazette and the Texarkana Daily News. A reporter named Jim Powell went out to investigate, and he found that Ford was in the process of moving out of the home.
Okay.
Bought it a week and a half ago.
And he's already moving out.
And he's leaving.
Well, it didn't take long.
Unsure for their safety in the face of this mysterious denizen of the forest, the resulting articles on the encounter were widely publicized and talked about. And before long, there were all manners of rumors being whipped around about a giant, hairy, lurking beast in the area. It's perhaps no surprise that after it went, well, the wake of publics, more and more sightings started coming forward. And another well-known account came from the very same month, and it went on May 23rd of 1971. And that, we're going to take our ad break there.
All right.
But yeah, so what do you think so far?
Well, seems more like the physical side of Bigfoot right now.
Yeah.
That's my opinion so far.
Before we take our ad break, remember, the Junior Anglers of Indian Lake, take your kid fishing. If you want to join the Junior Anglers of Indian Lake, the link is below. You want to support them, you want to donate, you want to do anything like that, please use the link below. They're great. They're a sponsor on the show. They do great work for kids all around.
Yep. Getting kids fishing equipment and getting kids into fishing.
And the outdoors in general.
Yep, and in general. Just so there's more of us in the future.
To do these actions.
We need to teach the younger generation.
All right, we'll be right back.
So, Jay, I just heard the Flavors of the Forest crew just did an expedition to the Lovelock Caves.
In Nevada?
Home of the red-haired giants.
Oh, did they discover a red-headed giant?
Nope. They discovered something even better.
A ginger of another sort?
A ginger of another sort. Now coming out very soon, Flavors of the Forest, Bigfoot Breath with Ginger.
A ginger flavor to add to my food?
Yes. It's coming very soon. Be on the lookout for these new flavors. Helped developed by maybe the Nephilim, maybe the Mound Milders. All we know is they had red hair and they're gingers.
And it's delicious. And you can find this flavor and the other flavors on flavorsforest.com/corn.
And we're back. The Beast of Boggy Creek.
Bum, bum, bum.
So same month, May 23rd, 1971. D.C. Woods Jr. and Wilma Woods and Mr. R.H. Sedgris. I think that's how you say that last name. Were allegedly driving along U.S. Highway 71 when they saw an abomination stride across the road in front of them. There was so these guys are just driving, and they just said this mud, blood, goop, this covered thing. This is almost like what they described seeing and come across the road was almost Octoman style looks.
Mm.
And several people just think it was this Bigfoot covered in all kinds of garbage from the swamp.
He just, like, slothed himself out of there.
Well, he was running across the road, so he may have jumped out to get in front of the car and run across.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, so I could see that. The plants and stuff in these little bayous and sloughs and stuff like that, I could see him looking like a big amalgamation.
Well, I mean, if you've ever crawled around in a slough.
I have. I've kicked an alligator in a slough.
And get pretty muddy and gross.
Yeah. There was also an account from an archaeologist named Frank Scumback? Scamback?
What is he?
An archaeologist.
Oh, archaeologist, okay.
Who investigated a set of three-toed footprints in the area and found at the same time. And this was quite bizarre indeed. So, you've seen those three-toed tracks. That's from the Beast of Boggy Creek.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah. More reports came in throughout the early 1970s. And at some point in the 1972, it was all used to base the cult favorite cryptozoology film, pseudo-documentary called The Legend of Boggy Creek, which would go on to spawn several sequels and remain a Bigfoot classic among aficionados. So back to the story. In the meantime, the sheriff's office warned potential monster hunters to stay away, and still weirdness continued, with many locals claiming to have even seen the creature or have found multiple pets in livestock that had been mutilated by the vicious monster.
Mm.
A lot of these bodies of these animals were not eaten. It's one of the weird Bigfoot encounters, Bigfoot-like things, where some of these animals had bite marks in them.
Wow.
It's very odd.
Huh, okay.
What, you got any gears going over there?
Bigfoot's got rabies?
There are even bounties offered for the beast. Much to the chagrin of the law enforcement. So yeah, the law enforcement hated, they didn't want it. A couple local businessmen we'll talk about, put some pretty, for the 1970s, put some big bounties on these guys.
Big rewards.
And like bounty hunters or the cops are like, please, nobody go out. You're all going to shoot each other.
Yeah. Great. And they got to pick up the bodies.
Mm-hmm. So law enforcement authorities trying to keep people from trespassing about with loaded weapons through the region. There were a few hoaxers that were arrested as well. And it was all quite the ruckus at the time. So you imagine being a hoaxer when there's monster hunters in southwest Arkansas?
That'd be about the dumbest thing you can do.
They would, I've been all over this place. Everybody has guns. You know how many people just stop and shoot pigs off the side of the road? Because they're so bad?
Yeah, oh yeah, they're very bad.
Now they've seen the Beast of Boggy Creek?
Yeah, it wouldn't be the smartest thing to be walking around in ghillie suit.
Boom!
Yeah, it'd be like in that the Sasquatchologist movie.
Yeah, it would be. It would be the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So so many were crying that the whole thing was a hoax, but there were still reports came in and tracks were found, and many, many odd things happened, including these three-toed tracks were just kind of found everywhere. However, by 1947, the sightings had died down in the Beast of Buggy Creek sort of faded from public consensus. But it was not meant to last, as the beast was not done, it would seem. In 1978, things got interesting again with the discovery of a new trackway left by the monster in Russellsville, Arkansas. And there were some consistent sightings of the Beast of Center Ridge, Arkansas, and Corset, Arkansas, reigniting interest in the creature. Once again, there were several reports of missing pets, livestock, attacks on dogs, who seemingly maimed by some sort of large and powerful creature. So once again, these mutilations are extremely weird.
Okay.
Not food mutilations, but always targeting dogs. We always know how Bigfoot feels about dogs as the most part.
Not friends.
Yeah. But yeah, so, and in the 1980s, the encounters continued. Sporadic sightings had continued right up until really recent years. Notably, the sighting of a creature jumped from a bridge in 1991. You heard me?
Creature jumped from the bridge?
Jumped from the bridge into the river.
Oh, the Boggy Creek. The monster.
Yeah, they got...
The Bigfoot.
They caught the Bigfoot on a bridge, and he just chose to jump off into the river.
Probably a smart idea.
I've seen people do that in some of these bayous.
Yeah.
Like really tall bridges.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, literally, we're looking at alligators, and people are jumping off the bridge from kids. Different world.
Just to have fun, or?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, no, they're doing it for fun because it's hot and it was like 100 degrees.
Let's jump in an alligator pool.
There was a slough. There was a swamp. A bayou, actually. It was technically a bayou.
Oof.
Notable sightings of the creature jumped from the bridge, like I said, 1991, with an intense spat of 40 sightings during 1997 and 1998 alone. There have been sightings of the Falk monster right up into the 2000s, with some notable encounters along roads. In 2011, a married couple witnessed a stout, hairy creature with dirt and debris stuck through its hair and a horrible stench as it crossed the road in front of their car. Also coming from 2011, is a report of a witness named Heather Owens. And driving along at night at the place called Williams Road, she saw an 8-foot-tall, hairy man figure standing up and glaring at her from behind a bale of hay in the field. The following year, in September of 2012, the creature was spotted again, this time along State Route 237 near Falk. This is where it's seen crossing the road in front of the car and described it being extremely muscular with very long legs.
Ooh.
An odd thing for Bigfoot. So, such sightings continued on and off up until modern day, 2007, 2018. In 2017, there were two notable sightings. One of the couple was driving on the road south of Falk near Boggy Creek at around dusk, and they saw a really tall, hairy, human-like figure standing near some trees off the side of the road. In 2018, a truck driver allegedly saw one crossing Route 71 again and continued to run down on the empty lane before veering off into the woods and disappearing. So the truck driver said he ran on the road for a while.
Mm-hmm.
In both cases, the witnesses have been absolutely sure they did not see a person or a bear. There are bears in this area, by the way.
Okay.
The guys we would stay with had trail camera pictures of bears. There are not a ton of bears, but they're there. It's not like Tennessee or not like that. It'd be more like our cabin is in Michigan. You know, everybody knows there's bear. You see one maybe. If you're a deer hunter, you probably see one or two a season. But not running down the highway.
No.
There was also...
I wonder...
Go ahead.
I wish you would have at least stopped and see if... Because I'm sure if it came out of the woods, it's got to leave tracks, like mud tracks or whatever. Just want to see the feet.
On Route 71, it's like wooded forest swampland on each side.
Mm-hmm.
You really can't walk into it.
Well, true. I guess I just wish
we got into a creek, a boggy creek with our waders.
Yeah.
And immediately the first net of fish we did, it had 5 copperheads in it.
Oh my gosh.
I wouldn't be walking around there. We got out and left.
I guess, I don't know, just if it was running on the road. I wish you'd have seen its footprints on the road.
Sure. Or maybe it did. He had truck driver. He had a deadline to make.
Oh, there you go. Fair enough.
There was also another story of the creature supposedly killing a dog. So these young boys had skipped school to take their squirrel dogs, hunt dogs out.
Okay.
So they were going to go run dogs, hunt. They skipped school. So they're out there, and they had said a guy had killed 3 of their 4 dogs. Like, these 8 teenage boys.
Yeah.
All had guns. You know, 22s probably, for the most part. Skipping school, run dogs. 3 of their 4 dogs had been killed by what the best they could describe was this big guy in the woods. So a bunch of the dads got together the next day, and they're going to go basically kill this guy.
Going to go murder him.
They were going to try to just get him out, but one of the dads had said that basically, any sign of hesitation, we were just going to shoot
him. Shoot on sight.
Probably what was going to happen. And they found some trackways of this 3-toed prints, and they had seen this Bigfoot-like creature, and it freaked him out. One of the guys did take a pot shot at it. He didn't think he hit it, but they immediately got out of there.
Oh, they actually physically seen it.
Yeah, they said the way they described it, like a little bit of the wobbling, but trying to hide, but not really hiding. Like it was just acting super strange.
Hmm. Wonder what that is, like the wobbling. Like if they think, they got to know they're not hidden.
Well, I think this one maybe didn't know it wasn't hidden.
Okay.
There's something wrong with this case, if you can't tell.
Yeah, it seems like it.
There's some oddities that pop up that I do believe happened, because many eyewitnesses shared the oddities.
Same experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same behaviors.
So before we get to what the legend of the Beast of Boggy Creek was, before we get to what I think the legend of the Beast of Boggy Creek actually was, let's talk about some media and stuff you can find in this.
Okay.
The movie we already referenced once is The Legend of Boggy Creek, 1972.
And they had sequels?
Yeah.
How many?
Oh, we'll get there. This movie came out during the sightings. There's like, The Legend of Boggy Creek was directed and debuted by the late Charles B. Price, the town of Dreaded Sundown, who put aside his career in the advertising to pursue this filmmaking. He was a resident of Texarkana in the early 1970s. Pierce was drawn to sensational newspaper reports. He went down and started making this movie while it was still happening.
It'd be like someone making the Mothman movie.
Why it was happening?
Before the bridge collapsed.
He was trying to capitalize on the frenzy. There's a lot of weird, like, we could do a whole episode on the weird stuff surrounding this movie.
Okay.
The fallbacks and the unpopularity, and then it exploding, and then there was some film theft where a big, like, it was...
Exploding?
As in popularity.
Oh. Phew.
Not like an actual explosion.
Like the Joe Exotic style?
Yeah, gosh. Burn all those alligators alive.
Oh, man. I forgot that was part of it.
He did that.
I know. More about the evidence he was destroying. But
remember,
alligators are part of the evidence.
If you watch the Joe Exotic saga, Tiger King, or the one after with Carol Baskins, they're all bad people.
Yeah.
I think we all kind of forget that. I mean, it's fun to joke about it. We all kind of forget that, like, you pick sides, right?
Oh, yeah.
But every one of those people in that documentary
is on the bad side.
Is bad. The only honest one in that was the drug dealer.
Yeah. That's so crazy, but it's true.
The drug kingpin from South America.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to the Beast of Boggy Creek. The next movie was The Return to Boggy Creek in 1977. But once again, to capitalize on the success of the original, numerous times to convince Price to direct it, but he did not want anything to do with the project. He had a lot of, like I said, we could do a whole episode on just these movies with the dramas in them and all this weird stuff and the Bigfoot community.
Mm-hmm.
It was a weird thing, these movies, but that's the next one. The third one is one of the, probably the famous one. If you look up The Beast of Boggy Creek, the two pictures you get is that one where the Bigfoot's running through the water at you, and the two is the Bigfoot with the baby.
That's Boggy Creek?
Yeah. That's the covers for the movies that everybody steals the art from and uses on everything. because it's synonymous with Bigfoot now.
So that video where...
No, not the video. Just the cover, the art. Just
a picture, okay.
So the third movie in 1985 was Boggy Creek 3.
Okay.
Nice and easy. And then non-connected to those three movies, in 2011, there's Boggy Creek, The Legend is True, which is kind of, it's a horror movie. I've not seen it. I'll probably watch it tonight.
So it has nothing to do with his first three. It's no. just not
the shoot. First three weren't. So Pierce didn't or Price didn't do the other two. They okay. try to get him to come back and do the other two.
Gotcha. Okay.
There's so much drama we're not even going to get into with those movies.
Yeah.
If you guys are interested at home, just tell us. I'll do a full episode on it because we could probably do another hour and a half on just those three movies
and the
Bigfoot community and the inner workings and the eyewitnesses and. It's weird. It's weird. There's a lot of weirdness with them. But I've seen them, all of those. They're great as far as Bigfoot classic, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
I've not seen this Boggy Creek, The Legend is True. The cover and the little bit I've seen looks hilarious.
What's it look like? Mac and Me?
No, it looks like every third-rate B-horror movie ever.
Oh, so it's fantastic.
With half-dressed women.
Oh, so it's one of the good ones.
Yeah, I mean, if you like C-class.
Jason and the Argonauts.
If you like that style, yeah.
Nice.
And then, okay, this one I always have trouble saying because they did this on purpose. In 2013, The Legacy of Boggy Creek, not The Legend of Boggy Creek.
Ah, it's different.
The Legacy of Boggy Creek. And it is like a dime store Bigfoot mask.
Oh, it's the creature?
Yeah. It looks absolutely great.
So like if we made a movie?
No, we could do better than this because we.
Oh, you think so?
Yes, we'd buy one of Seymour's mask.
I guess you're right. Yeah, we got better mask access.
I mean, we have people that make nice quality stuff that we could give money to, and they could hand us one. This is like they went to Dollar General and ordered a Bigfoot mask.
You know, sometimes you just gotta make the best with what you got. You play with the hand.
I cannot knock everything over. I'll try to show you.
Oh, that looks fantastic. I'd still be scared if I seen that.
Yeah, I mean, I would too. But I mean, anyways, 2016. The Boggy Creek Monster. This is unlike the films that follow the original Boggy Creek. It's a documentary that explores the actual history. If you've looked up any of the history of the Beast of Boggy Creek, this is probably the one you've seen. This is one of the famous ones.
Okay.
And it's produced by?
Lyle Blackburn.
Small Town Monsters. Lyle's in it.
Oh, okay. Took a shot in the dark.
Yeah. It's mostly based on the research done by Lyle, our good friend, with his book we'll talk about in a minute. But yeah, it's based on Lyle's experience. They interview a lot of the original eyewitnesses, some of those kids from the one yeah. with the dogs.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they're adult, they're grown, they're older men now.
Right, yeah.
But they were still alive when they did the documentary.
Sweet, okay.
It's one of the Small Town Monsters, probably, in my opinion.
One of their better ones.
One of the best ones they've ever done. And I think it was just because it was right when they were knowing what they were doing. And they're great people. Knowing what they were doing. They had the perfect, it was just the right story with the right eyewitnesses left, with the right researchers like Lyle and a couple of the other guys and gals.
It was meant to happen.
It just hit. It hit really well.
Yeah.
So if you're only going to watch one of those, that's the one. Books. So let's talk about probably the most famous books. Boggy Creek Casebook by Lyle Blackburn. The Beast of Boggy Creek by Lyle Blackburn. Beyond Boggy Creek by Lyle Blackburn.
Dang. He's really knocking them out.
Those are the top. So that's funny. Those are the top three.
Jeez, what is books he from on Boggy there? Creek.
Yeah, he lives. I think what is it, 12 minutes from there. He lives in Texas.
Oh yeah, that's right.
But
oh.
It's Texarkana.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. We have all those books. Lyle's great author, great researcher, fun man,
great friend.
He really is.
Nice guy.
But yeah, last thing I'll talk about before we get back into the Bigfoot and what it could be or what could have happened is the town is completely behind this stuff. If you go there, there's this little... So, I've been to Falk many times. I love it to death. There is the Bigfoot... the Monster Mart, where you can go get your picture as the Beast of Boggy Creek and the metal sign and all this stuff. It's all handmade.
We've seen them before, the pictures people have taken there.
I have pictures of me in it.
Oh, you haven't been in there. Okay. I've never been.
No, but I've been many times when I used to go to Arkansas all the time. It had to be one of our stops every time.
Makes sense.
It's a little out of our way for this trip. It's like another 6 hours south.
Oh, gosh.
So I don't think we're going to do it this trip. Wrong part of Arkansas. But no, so the Monster Mart has like every kind of Bigfoot paraphernalia. It's where my hoodie I still wear. I bought it like a decade ago over down there.
Yeah.
Still wearing it. It's got massive holes in it.
Fine quality.
The owner of the Monster Mart, one of the original eyewitnesses, I was talking to him and I didn't know it. And I was like, you know, he's like, we bought those hoodies and I can't sell them because that's that real thick brown one I wear.
Yeah. It's I know exactly.
Southern Arkansas.
Oh, no wonder why.
And he's like, do you want one? I'm like, yeah, I'm just trying to pick out what souvenirs and stuff. I'm from Northwest Ohio. So, you know, he's like, I'll tell you what, I'll give you, you can either have that for free or everything in your hands for free. And I had like stickers and cups and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And that Bigfoot air freshener that's been in every car I've ever owned. That weird one. You know what one I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And so I took the hoodie for free because it was like $45. And then I think he gave Nick another one too.
Oh, nice.
Because he's just like, they're not ever going to leave.
Yeah. Who's going to buy a sweatshirt?
It's like a $50 hoodie.
In the summer of Arkansas.
I mean, even in the winter, I've been down in the winter. It's still like 50 degrees most of the time.
Yeah, that's shorts weather up here.
Yeah, and I was fishing. These people are like freezing to death crappie fishing, and I'm out there in my shorts.
Right, yeah.
This is great. I just left -3 to come down here.
Yeah.
No, so Monster Mart, super behind it. Right beside it, it is like not a trailer. It's probably a step down from a trailer, this little barbecue restaurant. It's like somebody, not bad. It's like a little screened-in porch somebody built.
Okay.
I don't mean it's a step down in quality. I mean it's a step down in size, in structure.
Yeah.
It's just like it fits 4 tables inside and 2 tables outside. And it's really good barbecue. And they got the Bigfoot barbecue and they got the Falk Monster. Like,
you know what it's called?
I think it's called Bigfoot Barbecue.
Okay.
It's like it's touching the same parking lot as the Monster Mart. It's almost the same building. And you can talk, there's always about 3 old men sitting out in front of it. And just asking about the monster.
Ah, so that's where all the farmers gather and drink their coffee.
If you know the joke in Arkansas or in anywhere, you're like, you know, you pass that cow, turn right. Well, the cow's not there. Cow's always there. What are you talking about?
Right, yeah.
It's the same thing. These 3 guys
are always there.
I don't know if they're still alive. I haven't been down in many
years. They're still there. They've been there for 2 centuries.
Yeah, probably. So yeah, Falk is amazing. If you're going to go to one of these places, it's not nearly as, the town's like 100 people. It's smaller than Point Pleasant as far as the actual town. It's the Falk Monster probably has the whole Main Street.
Dang.
The whole town's behind it. It's awesome. They do Bigfoot. They do like a Bigfoot camp out for kids and all kinds of stuff.
Well, they have to, because if they don't, he's going to come torment their town again. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about.
So, yeah. Really cool place. This is one of the ones you got to put on your bucket list to go visit.
Yeah.
All right. What happened? What was the beast of Boggy Creek? What happened with this mysterious monster? I have an idea, and I have several things. Obviously, this isn't a normal Bigfoot, right? There's something wrong. There's something off. There's something happening. So there's several ideas that have been put forward. I'll just go in the order I have them written. An injured Bigfoot.
Okay.
The Cripplefoot cast, all this stuff, the 3 toes. A lot of people think it didn't originally have 3 toes. They think it had 5 toes and that something had happened to it. Okay. So this could have been this whole step down and then it got shot several times. So then it gets injured and the more injured it gets, the more violent it gets.
But wouldn't they see if it was just injured, they'd see the toes on one foot and then the other foot, it'd be different?
Unless they're both. I mean, it could have got his feet crushed. It could have got attacked by an alligator. Keep in mind.
Maybe a samurai cut off both his toes on both feet.
Well, I think they were mangled.
Okay.
If you look at some of these casts and some of the pictures of it,
yeah,
they look like mangled. Like they almost like if somebody had gotten, I've seen people get crushed in machinery at work when I worked in the factory, like that. So I kind of wonder, maybe a big alligator
bit his feet?
Yeah. They're walking barefoot through these things. I've stepped on and kicked alligators in 3 foot of water in these sluices, big ones.
Are there any like, not catfish, but I guess catfish would be.
Alligator snapping turtles are everywhere down there.
Alligator snapping turtles, okay.
Yeah, and they will remove anything that hits them.
Right, yeah.
I was more scared of those than the alligators.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be bit by a snapping turtle.
Because alligators move.
Right.
When we kick them on accident, they'd move. Snapping turtles are just going to sit there till you put your foot in their mouth, yeah, and then they're going to cut it off.
They just open their mouth wider.
So not catfish or anything like that. Bull sharks every once in a great while. A lot of alligators. This part of Arkansas is just full of alligators.
What about something that you can step on, like that can, that's toxic, like a.
Yeah.
Or poisonous.
Venomous.
Venomous.
Copperheads, toxic. Water moccasins, and rattlesnakes everywhere. Mm. We were in these little creeks with seine nets for minnows.
And you're catching more snakes than minnows?
Sometimes we had a net full of copperheads.
That's crazy.
Copper everywhere.
Yeah, what are they doing under the water?
So imagine if you walk through that your whole life.
And you're bound to step on something, right?
Yeah. So copperheads, as far as I know, there's been very, very few fatalities. Most humans don't even go to the hospital. It's only dangerous if you're allergic or the snake of that caliber. Water moccasins are kind of a little bit of cottonmouth, the same animal. Just so everybody knows, a water moccasin and a cottonmouth is the exact same animal.
Okay.
It's like a cougar and a puma, just different local names.
Okay.
That's kind of the venom has killed a couple more people, but still a lot of people don't have nearly any reaction. A little bit of necrotsy. So that's like killing localized flesh, but not like hardcore body devastation.
Gotcha.
And then rattlesnakes are a little bit further than that. Where same thing, or rattlesnakes aren't necessarily fatal. They definitely can be for humans, but definitely some flesh destruction.
Gotcha.
So in an animal that much bigger than us, it'd probably still be watered down. It would probably be stuck to localized necrosy. So just destroying of localized flesh. So what is going to come in contact with the most snakes?
Well, probably your feet.
Especially if you're walking barefoot through these sloughs and bayous and waterways. Mm-hmm. And
constantly.
So imagine an adult animal may have been bitten the feet dozens of times each foot. I'm not joking. When we walk through these sloughs, the boggy creek we ran a net through and had five copperheads in one net.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's nuts.
And there's tons of other water snakes and tons of other animals. Nothing is like straight up poisonous, as in you step on like a sea urchin or nothing like that.
Right, yeah.
But there's definitely dozens and dozens and dozens of venomous snakes per 100 yards.
Any freshwater rays stabbing his feet?
In the Arkansas River, which is right there, or not the Arkansas River, in the Red River, which is right there, there can be stingrays every once in a great while, but it's very rare. And same with the manatee. And there have been bull sharks up there. I mean, obviously. But no, as far as I go, where he was mostly hanging out.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Okay. You just never know. You got to explore every
So avenue. An injured animal. Could this have been a Bigfoot that finally it got one too many bites in the foot. It crushed its feet. I know something happened to where now it has to change its normal eating habits. It can't run up and just grab a deer.
Whatever it
can't, fight an alligator. You know, it's struggling. That could explain some of the behaviors. That could explain its proximity to humans. It may have not been reaching for the lady. It may have just been looking for food in the house.
It's just reaching for an apple on the...
Yeah, on the nightstand.
Right beside her where she was napping.
I mean, we talked about it. Bigfoot knows there's food in the house.
Right, yeah.
I mean, if it wanted to grab her, it probably would have grabbed her.
It could have.
And this is another thing that happened that same time around the Ford's encounter was there was a lot of peeping Toms. Like, one lady said it looked into her while she was in the bathroom. And the bathroom window was like 8 foot off the ground.
Mm.
And there's just... These big eyes.
Huge eyes.
Just staring in at her. Didn't bust through the window. It didn't break through the wall to get her.
No, he was window shopping.
But maybe he was looking for food and stuff like that. And this attacking. What we see with mountain lions, right? We'll use those as an example. They avoid humans at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
The only exception to that rule when they start really preying on livestock is an injured animal.
Okay.
Because they don't have the option to go out of their way.
They have to get what's available.
They're going to take sheep rather than trying to hunt an elk.
Okay.
You know, you're not going to get hurt. They're injured. They're tigers, especially. We talked about that in our Maneaters Patreon episode. When a tiger the most dangerous tiger is an injured one. They talk about people that used to hunt tigers. They say the worst thing you could do is not kill it.
Mm.
Because it's going to kill everything in this valley.
Until something kills it.
Like that village. Remember that one, that female tiger they shot in the face didn't kill it. And it went and killed a whole village of 300 people in one night.
Gosh, that's insane.
So what do you think about the injured animal idea?
I guess it could explain the feet or injured, or like I said, mentioned earlier, is maybe rabies perhaps.
Why don't you not mention that one again?
Okay. So injured,
Someone's gonna be like, he's being really mean to him today.
I'm just on it today. That's all. I'm in tune. Now injured with being the feet. I mean, that can explain the feet because three toes is weird.
And if you look at the prints and stuff like that, it does not look like it's supposed to have three toes.
Okay. It just does.
It just looks like that's what's left.
Right, yeah.
Because the rest have rotted off.
Yeah, it's definitely an odd one.
Okay, next one. This is a weird one. A lot of people put this forward, that it wasn't a Bigfoot at all. This happened to be one of our wild men.
Huh.
The size was over-exaggerated from people being freaked out the lack of hair, some of the people reported. Some of the people said it looked like it had mange, or it was like had big, like big patches of skin missing. This may have been a guy wrapped up in pelts, because that had happened in Arkansas. We talked about the Arkansas Blue Man, the Ozark Blue Man.
Okay.
Or that was a guy, they said. Because they taught him how to ride horseback, but he was like a mountain man that had went feral. So what if this is a guy that the town had encroached, or the property, this guy, the Ford had just bought the property, and this guy had been fine living out there around these people forever because he'd been seen for 23 years before.
Right.
And something had happened with Ford moving into there where it changed, and they shot at him, you know?
He cut off his access to something.
That, maybe. Or, you know, he may have not known that the old owners had sold it or passed away.
Right, yeah.
And he was able to trade stuff with them or something.
And now he can't.
Mm-hmm.
We can't rule that out. Habituation is a bad thing.
Yeah.
When it comes to Bigfoot.
Yeah. Well, this would be a man, this one.
Well, yeah, it's true.
I'm not saying it wasn't a habituated Bigfoot. That could be also.
Right. So, if I could believe this, if when you go feral and truly go feral, not just like I'm gonna start living out in the woods, like I mean feral, like full on, maybe you do grow another couple feet out of nowhere and your whole body just grows
like
hair.
Like a pig?
Out of, yeah.
Maybe, your, I don't know.
Big tusks.
Boo!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That would be wild, but hey, that's why they called wild men. Maybe, I mean, yeah, I don't know if this is just a man. That'd be quite the stretch just for the size and speed. And
I mean, and somebody said it, so I put it in.
Yeah, you gotta explore every option. You gotta turn, no stones are left unturned.
I don't think it was a man. I think that would be a, I could be, I don't know.
I guess what I don't, I, know? I guess I don't know, but I'm gonna say it was probably not. In my opinion, I'm gonna say no, not just some dude. Unless Lyle's got, or unless we go to Lyle's house one day and we find a really, 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 really good Bigfoot costume that, you know, happens to fit him that's 9 foot tall.
Oh, was Lyle doing this in the 70s?
Whole time, yeah, the whole time.
Would he be alive in the 70s?
Imagine
he'd
be old.
I'm going to guess he was maybe born in the 70s or the 80s.
Oh, he'd have to be, I would say late 70s. Well, I guess I don't know anymore with, it's 2025 now.
I'm bad because I'm 30. Gosh. And so I'm like,
yeah, man. So 75, you're 50 years old now.
Yeah, I don't think he's 50.
I don't think so either.
So he wouldn't. He wasn't even alive for this.
Well, he was in the womb. He was plotting this out in the womb.
73.
Yeah, he was plotting it out in the womb.
A 2-year pregnancy.
He had his people on the outside already.
All right.
Tricky.
The last one. You got me. I think this was a Bigfoot with rabies.
Hmm. Okay.
The mysterious, so these weird behaviors, right? Let's talk about this because I really, really believe this is rabies. So let's talk about rabies and carnivores or mammals, in carnivores in particular. There's several stages of rabies.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first earlier stages is full out aggression. Right. Not so nocturnal animals being seen during the day, like raccoons being out during the day. That's a big one. That's when you look at it. That raccoon's probably a rabid if they're just out doing nothing in the middle of the day.
Same with coyotes.
Coyotes is another big one. Now, they can be crossed, and if they're running from one spot to the other, that's different. You know, they get woke up, pushed out of their house, whatever. But if they're just out there doing stuff during the day when they're not, like, they're nocturnal. They're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Their brain's getting fried. The next stage, during that first stage and then this next stage, odd body movements, because this is when the disease is starting to attack the central nerve system. So these odd motions, these odd gallops, running for no reason, this back and forth. Raccoons will do that. They do this, like a little wiggle back and forth. Coyotes do it. Mountain lions do it when they get rabies.
Mm.
Because it's the central nerve system getting fried from this disease.
That makes sense.
The second stage is aggression. The disease is trying to spread. So look at all the livestock. What did it have? Bites.
Oh, yeah.
We don't see that with a lot of Bigfoot attacks.
No.
But the disease pushes to spread. To bite like a zombie virus.
Ooh, okay.
That's why these animals out in the second stage want to bite everything. Because the disease is pushing that button to spread itself around as much as it can before its host dies.
Hmm.
And towards the end, it's full-on insanity, where it's the motor controls is almost out the window. There was a mountain lion that had rabies that had a little girl cornered in like the 90s. There's a video of it. You can find it. Where it told the dad told the little girl to freeze, and the mountain lion kept putting its jaws on her head. And then letting go. And opening its mouth and putting its jaws on her head and letting go. Like it was going to kill her. Like, it knew what to do, the end of human.
Yeah.
And its brain was fried. It couldn't do it. And then it would get up and walk in circles around her, like leaning, because it was losing its central balance. And then it just dropped.
Jeez. So all so these, lucky.
This weird galloping, you also lose the sense of pain. So this Bigfoot would be getting shot multiple times and kind of just shrugging it off.
Doesn't even really
not
know.
Not running away. Another thing, so once again, the mountain lion catching food but not being able to do anything with it. The Bigfoot would have bum rushed forward and grabbed him, and then it just kind of let him go.
Mm.
Because that part of the brain's starting to get fried. It doesn't know what to do next.
What to do next. It knows it wants to do this, and then once it does that,
it's gone. Yeah. You know, it starts eating away at your brain.
Yeah, now what?
All of this whole story, to me, almost fits perfectly with the progression in mammals of the disease of rabies.
Hmm. Dang.
I really think this was an example of a sick Bigfoot.
What tipped me off was the biting of the horses.
Yeah.
That was, okay, that's odd behavior. And rabies, first thing I thought of. And two, after that fact, and him being drunk, maybe, this one too. Being shot at and just, oh, I better get out of here.
Yeah, they start losing the sense of pain.
Well, I can imagine, you know, I've been intoxicated before in my life, beyond the point of where you should be.
Yeah.
And yeah, sometimes you get hurt and you don't know it until you realize, oh, you know, that should probably hurt. Or you wake up the next morning and then you realize, oh, that hurts. What'd I do? And then you realize, oh, well. There's that video of me jumping off something.
Falling down the stairs.
Falling down the stairs, yeah.
Wife not coming to check on you.
You okay? Did you drop your phone? Is that what you...
No, she... I got back up. She thought... I just thought you dropped your phone. 300 pounds of me hitting every step. It wasn't like at the bottom of the step. It was every step. My knee went to the wall.
Doot. Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, sometimes phones are loud.
Dropped my shirt.
What?
I dropped my shirt. My shirt fell. Oh. I just happened to be in it.
Oh, yeah. I just told someone at the bowling alley, I'm going to fold your clothes with you still in them. You still wearing them. I told that to the Dover Demon.
I rolled out of bed one time, hit the floor. My mom texted me what was that. I did the shirt joke.
Yeah.
She's like, that was too loud. I'm like, I was in it.
Yeah, I'm still wearing it.
No, so I really think this is a Bigfoot with rabies.
Yeah.
I think it fits a lot of the stuff. Just a mega mammal with it.
Yeah.
The weird bitings. These odd body movements, this inability to hide when it thinks it's hidden,
mm-hmm.
like a lot of that.
It's like it's still there, functioning, but...
But as the story goes, it gets worse and worse.
Right.
And I think there was a population of Bigfoots here. And if you go out there, you can... it's just one of those areas that feels squatchy. I think the early 70s, this 2 years may have been one animal suffering this disease until it eventually probably died. It's just laying somewhere in a bayou dead.
Right. Dead in the ditch somewhere.
And then the others after were separate Bigfoots. Because then after these couple years in the 70s, it went back to kind of normal Bigfoot activity.
Mm-hmm.
Being seen running across the road, being seen here and there, you know, not doing anything, not this violent streak, not this weird biting thing.
Right.
The bites is a big one. I mean, that's a rabies disease,
yeah.
Full on. And then some people even describe it having mange, which is not the same disease, but oftentimes correlate with each other.
Okay.
Because it's just an animal, it gets infected with ill health. Like, not every animal that has rabies has mange. Not every mange has rabies.
Right.
But a lot of times, that same animal, because its immune system's already so wrecked, it'll have both. I really think this is a Bigfoot with rabies. And it's just, we get to see what happens.
I kind of hope it is. I mean, just, this would be, I mean, it already is a very interesting
100%.
Specific case that everyone knows about. But if that's the case, I mean, I don't know, because... It just blurs the lines even further with them being physical and non-physical or being just a creature, an animal, or whatever.
I think this is the animal Bigfoot. I really think this is the normal Bigfoot.
Right. Because I want to believe that there are multiple. I mean, that's what I do believe, that there are multiple. But part of me thinks like, well, it could just be all one thing, or it could... I don't think it's all just physical, but I think we talk about in our next episode, actually. Talk about that a little bit. Where sometimes I just wonder, maybe they all, even the physical ones, are just supernatural interdimensional beings. But I don't know.
Maybe they still get sick.
But I mean, they could, or there are actually two. And this is the example of just the physical one. So I don't know. I don't know where the lines are still blurred there, but if there are real physical ones, I think, yes, this would be a very, very good example of one of them. That's what I think.
So that's been The Beast of Boggy Creek, Season 7, Episode 1.
Dang.
Once again, thank you, guys. P.S., next episode is just kind of me and Jay just hanging out, talking about some stuff with the podcast and outside of the podcast. We just wanted to kind of do an interview on ourselves episode before we get rock and roll. We do have some really cool interviews scheduled in the near future.
And that need to be scheduled.
Mm-hmm. Anything to add before we go?
I'm looking forward to Season 7.
Season 7. I have been the great and powerful mystery.
And I've been J-Clone 70.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J-Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.